ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
What the hell? Like, I have no way to describe this. It's actually baffling. So much for every policy in the AFL saying that there's zero tolerance. There's zero tolerance for racism. There's zero tolerance for sexism. There's zero tolerance for homophobia. No, not according to the appeals board.
That's former AFLW footballer and now commentator Kate McCarthy on the AFL Appeals Board's decision to reduce Lance Collard's ban for a homophobic slur on field from 7 weeks to 2. She's not alone in her criticism, with their findings seemingly at odds with the code's long-standing message that there is no place for that language in our game. On the park, there is a huge Anzac weekend of AFL and NRL to get into, so let's do just that. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Luke Ball is a premiership player with the Collingwood Magpies, and Bawley has played on Anzac Day at the MCG, so he knows this weekend well. But before we get into the footy, I want to ask about the Lance Collard appeal last night. The appeals board agreed with St Kilda that the 7-week punishment handed down was excessive, and they downgraded it to 2 weeks with an additional 2 weeks suspended. So what, I guess, are your initial thoughts around that finding?
G'day, Poppy. Yeah, just getting up to speed with it this morning. And I mean, my initial reaction is, what a result for St Kilda, for first port of call, the fact that they've been able to so heavily reduce the penalty for their player. But then when you dig it into a bit and you read the reasons behind the reduction, to say it's bemusing or eyebrow raising would be to put it lightly. I can't really get my head around how the language that the appeals board have used. To me, it's almost like they've dusted off a book from the 1990s or 1980s with some of their reasoning and their language, as I said, as to an explanation why they've reduced the penalty so heavily. So, and I don't think I'd be alone there. I think that's been the reaction across the industry, hasn't it?
I've woken up this morning and still, for the life of me, cannot believe this.
To say that these things happen, essentially that these things happen on a footy field from time to time, on an elite footy field, I thought we'd well and truly move past that. So, yep, bemused to say the least, Poppy.
So the language that you're speaking of there, and as part of their findings, I'll read a quote. It's, "We observe that football is a hard game. It is highly competitive, particularly at its higher levels. It is commonplace that players can employ language from time to time which is racist, sexist or homophobic whilst on the field." The AFL have been spruiking largely the complete opposite of that, that this is no place in our game, this kind of language. So this outcome from an independent appeals board, it really flies against that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, we've had buy-in from players, from coaches, from the industry to try and, as best we can, stamp out these sort of things in our game. So, I mean, I agree with their statement that it's a tough game, and at the highest level, there's pressure involved and the stakes are high, but our players in particular are very well paid these days, and they're fully aware of the expectations of their conduct when they take the field. So, you know, I couldn't disagree with them more on the final part of that commentary. I'd be waiting for an AFL response to this, given, as you said, this has come from an independent appeals board.
Is that statement also at odds with your experience having played footy, the fact that, you know, it is commonplace?
Oh, I think commonplace is incorrect. That's right. I mean, so when I guess I've been involved in the last 20, 25 years, and I feel like it's been a huge push or, movement to stamp out these things, certainly in my time in footy. So it's not to say that every now and then in the heat of battle, players don't fall short of expectations, but it seems to be happening less and less. And again, that's why it stands out when we do have a case put forward. And I wouldn't agree with that it's commonplace.
Let's talk some actual footy, Bawley. Anzac Day is a Saturday this weekend, which means there are 4 games on Anzac Day, which is something we don't get every year. But the centrepiece, as it always has been, is Essendon and Collingwood. You've played in this fixture. You've stood in the middle of the MCG as 90,000 fans are silent. What is that like?
Yeah, it's incredible. It is one of the great days of the year. for the sport. And you're right, I can't remember the last time it fell on a Saturday, which, I mean, firstly, for Melbourneites, means we miss out on a public holiday, so we're a little bit unlucky there. But it does mean that you're right, that other teams get the opportunity to play on the day.
Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them.
You're right, the centrepiece remains the Collingwood-Essendon game. And you're right, I got the opportunity to play in three. The level of respect that's shown in the crowd for the occasion, you know, the last post, the national anthem, yeah, really, really amazing stuff. It's a finals-like atmosphere once the game starts, but the build-up to the game is quite unique, and there's nothing quite like it. So you're right, I was very fortunate.
What kind of contest are you expecting between these two teams? They kind of had very different starts to the season, and I think both had very different expectations on how their 2026 would pan out. Is this the kind of game you can sort of see Essendon lifting for? Does the Anzac occasion kind of do that to you?
It usually does, yeah. It usually, regardless of where the two teams are travelling, especially early, both teams usually roll up their sleeves and are up for the contest. And I think tomorrow, I think it's going to be a great contest. I think the Bombers, you know, really turned the corner, haven't they, over the last couple of weeks and started to find some form and confidence. And look, that's been around, you know, that's been off the back of their leaders and experienced players playing well and leading the way. And Zach Merritt and Darcy Parrish has returned to form. Andy McGrath went into the middle last week and perform really well. And then the younger players are, you know, continuing to develop and build off the back of that. So, yeah, I think Essendon will go in, you know, quietly confident tomorrow against a Collingwood team that have just been going, you know, to be fair. They've been finding ways to win like they did last week. They got out of jail a little bit last week and you know, they've probably been relying a little bit on individual brilliance and performances from Nick Dacos.
Handball to Nick Dacos, gives it to Darcy Cameron, hooks a kick across the body to the goal line. Nice work, Haynes, spoils, still alive. Nick picks it off of the line and goals.
So, yeah, they've certainly got work to do. Their offensive scoring struggles are well documented. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I think both teams are entitled to go in feeling pretty bullish about their chances. And again, that augurs well for a really good contest.
Look, Paul, it's a special day on the footy calendar and you will be at the G for the ABC tomorrow. Go well and thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Poppy. Yeah, looking forward to it. Can't wait to get there.
The AFL have today released a statement rejecting the commonplace nature of racist, sexist or homophobic language and say they have communicated their concerns to the appeals board members. Nick Campton writes all things rugby league for the ABC. And Campo, before we get into the actual football on the park, I want to ask about the amount of people going to watch the football on the park. The league is saying this round is almost sold out. Does this surprise you?
Look, it does surprise me. I don't think it's ever happened before in the game's history, but there does seem to be like just enormous outsized interest in just going to the footy at the moment. I think a lot of live events in a post-pandemic world have had a bit of an uptick in attendance. You know, we've all spent way too much time at home. Everyone's keen to go out and get into it. But, yeah, I certainly didn't expect something like this. I was out at Leichhardt last night for the first of those sellouts. I can confirm it was absolutely packed to the rafters.
8 metres in Canberra territory. The ball played, comes left at 12. Then he got the pass away to Royce Hunt. Hunt steps past Cleo Weeks. He's going to do it, Roycey boy. He's over to score, and if anything, we'll get this crowd going bonkers.
So, yeah, people are just loving their footy at the moment. It's great to see.
Yeah, the Eighth Wonder Leichhardt Oval was absolutely heaving last night. The Tigers beat the Raiders, who were missing some big names. But is Tigers pandemonium at fever pitch right now?
Pretty close, pretty close. They sort of had the wobbles a little bit with that loss to Brisbane at Campbelltown. But if you know, if you want to get back on track, Leichhardt's probably the best place to do it. It was sort of like it was an oasis in the desert for them in some of their struggling years. But last night it was just an absolute party, you know. And like, even though they were down at half time, I don't think a lot of Tigers fans were getting the shakes or anything like that. I think they're all really confident. They all really believe in this team, and this team really believes in itself. I think they kind of are the real deal because the things they're doing to win games seem to me to be repeatable and replicable week to week. They lean on that big forward pack. Adam Dewey sort of, you know, carves teams up on the edges of the ruck.
Come to the right. Dewey from 21 metres out. Strikes it. Likes it. Kicks the field goal. There's a little bit of topping on your cake.
And they just sort of stay on the job until the other team goes away. And that's exactly what happened against the Raiders last night. And you can say, yeah, Canberra were missing a fair few players. And you know, Hudson Young and Simi Sasungi has been two of their best this year. They didn't have either of them. But for a team to make the finals, all they got to do is beat all the bad teams. You know, it really is that simple. And the Tigers look like they can do that this year. You know, I'm not quite sure where their ceiling is, but they have a rather high floor, and that puts them in great stead.
Tigers fans will be asking to stop the count, I think, so far this NRL season. Screenshot that ladder. They're in second at the moment. I want to talk Anzac Day, and one of the Anzac round peaks is the Dragons and the Roosters. Jeez, the Red V have had a tough week. Coach Shane Flanagan gone. His son Kyle has been dropped to the bench. New interim coach Dean Young making his mark. What are you expecting on this big occasion from the Dragons?
Well, I'm expecting a little bit of a new coach bounce from them. I didn't think that they gave up on playing for Shane Flanagan or anything like that. I feel you could feel the effort in a lot of the games they were playing. It just wasn't quite coming together. But, you know, there's a new voice there. There's a new approach. There's a couple of new faces in the team. Maybe that can invigorate them a little bit. And sometimes all a team needs is a little bit of invigoration. Like, I think Manly are a great example. You know, look how desperate they were in the last few weeks of Anthony Seibold's coaching tenure. And then Kieran Foran comes in and the team's pretty much the same, but they're running harder, they're tackling harder, they look more committed, more focused, more like they have more belief in what they're doing. Maybe the Dragons can get a similar approach. And I guess if you were looking for a place to reset your season, a big occasion like Anzac Day might be a good place to do it, you know, because it is one of the biggest regular season games of the year. It'll be a sellout. It'll be a big and vibrant crowd. Maybe that's the perfect place to start again.
The Storm host the Rabbitohs, who have never won in Melbourne across 27 years.
14 in a row for Bellyache over his master. 9 in a row on Anzac Day, and the Bunnies cannot win a game in Melbourne. Game over.
Will that curse be broken this weekend?
Well, if it's not broken this weekend, Poppy, I don't think it can be broken because Souths are not going to get a better opportunity. Melbourne have lost 5 in a row. They look like they are in absolute hell at the moment. They are enduring a run of futility that Craig Bellamy has never faced in his 23 years as Storm coach. You know, like this is undiscovered country for every single one of them. The Storm right now are the lowest they have ever been on the competition ladder. You know, they're missing a lot of key players through injury. Some of the key players that are still there are really in a funk right now. Cameron Munster, probably chief among them. Souths have been a little bit patchy this year, but the highs have been quite high, you know, and Latrell Mitchell has taken them to a lot of those highs. He's coming off 4 tries against the Dragons. Melbourne's edge defense has been really shaky these last few weeks. There's a lot of vulnerabilities out there that I think Souths could take advantage of, but they have never won in Melbourne. Like, at this point, you kind of have to believe in a hoodoo or a curse or whatever you want to call it. They're 0 wins and 20 losses. But that hoodoo magic is maybe the only thing that can save the Storm. Because, yeah, I like Souths to win that one and finally get off the mark in Victoria.
Nick Campton, a big weekend this weekend for Anzac Day. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the footy.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Soundbite. In one of the weirder stories going around at the moment, New England Patriots coach Mark Vrabel has taken some time away from his position in the midst of a cheating scandal. Not of the sporting kind, but allegedly on his wife. He's sitting out the NFL draft after photos appeared to show him dancing hand in hand with reporter Diana Rossini, who is not his wife. He's spoken for the first time since those photos were published.
We believe in order to be successful on and off the field, you have to make good decisions. That includes me. That starts with me.
There are a lot of rabbit holes around this story you could go down if you should choose to do so, but I'm not going to do that for you. Golf clubs are generally pretty strict on attire, but apparently they're doing things differently at the Zurich Classic. Close to the water on the 18th, Michael Brennan decided that instead of worrying about washing his shirt after the inevitable mud he'd spray up with his shot, he decided to just take it off.
Oh my gosh.
You dressed like that?
I did not.
And that wasn't worth it.
I just hope he had some SPF on under there. And for the media, the player press conferences are an opportunity to get a headline-grabbing quote from a star. But sometimes, it just doesn't happen.
Do you guys feel like you're built to win either way at this point?
Yes.
Someday I'm going to get a 2-word answer from you.
Yes, sir.
There we go. That's good.
Fair enough. enough, Jalen Brunton. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to Kate McCarthy's TikTok, Marnie Vinyl's TikTok, and the PGA for the extra audio used in this episode.